This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Despite the fact that the unemployment rate just went up to 9.8%, the Republicans continue to filibuster the unemployment benefits extension in Congress. This is an emergency. Later, we'll hear from a rally in New York City to extend unemployment benefits and create jobs now. But first, let's listen to the unemployed in this new video called Lifeline, produced by the AFL-CIO.
I'm Susan Palmer. I'm an apprentice pipe fitter.
I worked for the Detroit Public Schools for 7 years, building doors for Chevy Traverse.
An out-of-work sheet metal worker, been laid off since April.
I worked at a university research center, and I was laid off in August 2010.
I was a marketing copywriter for several years.
I was a legal secretary at a large law firm.
I've been laid off since October of 08.
I've been out of work for over a year. My benefits will run out in 3 weeks.
3 months, January 2011.
In 4 weeks.
My unemployment benefits ran out yesterday.
My benefits take care of my rent and some bills. They're my roof over my head. They're my electric bills. They're my food.
It put a little groceries on the table and pay a few bills.
Rent, groceries, doctor's visits.
My health insurance.
Without the unemployment, I probably wouldn't have a home.
All I see in my future is living in my car.
Yeah, we're waiting for our home to be taken.
And I don't want to do that. As of today, I no longer have my lifeline. Do I pay this bill or do I buy my food?
We can get by on very little, but we can't get by on nothing.
Just have to say a prayer because I have no idea if the benefits are not extended. I really don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I want Congress to extend the unemployment benefits immediately.
Immediately.
So people can have a chance to find work.
Not just for myself, for every unemployed worker out there.
This isn't something that they should be talking about or debating or blathering about.
We never asked to be laid off. This is something that we have no control over.
In 40 years, they've never not extended unemployment benefits when the unemployment rate was this high.
So what is the reason now? I don't understand.
I would ask all Americans to call their congressmen, to write their congressmen.
Send a letter, make telephone calls.
And keep calling them and telling them, look, we elected you, so please help your people.
Please tell Congress to extend the unemployment benefits now.
Every American needs to contact Congress. So if you call now to do it for me and the unemployed like me, then these benefits will be here for you if you find yourself in our situation.
The National Jobs for All Coalition held a protest in New York City to call for extension of unemployment benefits being held up in Congress by a Republican filibuster and to raise public awareness of the need for bold and decisive federal action to create jobs. The action came on the very day when the newly released monthly statistics reported that the unemployment rate had increased to 9.8%, highlighting the need for decisive action now. Over 5 million workers have already exhausted their 99 weeks of extended benefits, and if unemployment benefits are not extended by Congress beyond the basic 26-week limit, over 2 million more will lose their benefits in December. The coalition will be holding vigils for jobs every first Friday of the month when the unemployment statistics are released, hoping to build grassroots support for jobs now.
This is the beginning of First Fridays, a vigil held the first Friday of the month when unemployment statistics are released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And we really want to focus attention every month on the need for jobs. I want to introduce you Trudy Goldberg, who is chair of the National Jobs for All Coalition.
Is this a recovery?
No!
We just heard that unemployment is 9.8%, up from last month. That means that unemployment has been hovering around 10% for nearly 2 years. This is not a recovery. Are we going to be a mass unemployment society? The Federal Reserve Board has just said that we can expect it for at least 2 more years. So this is the number one priority. It should have been the number one priority of our administration. Now, we know that the official unemployment, that 9.8%, is 15 million or so people, but that it's a part of the iceberg because double that number are affected by unemployment. If you count those who are part-time involuntarily unemployed and those who are not looking for a job but would take one, want a job but are not actively looking, so you're dealing with over 30 million people. Now, that means that probably one out of four Americans is in a family that is touched by unemployment. And you know, those statistics don't really tell you about the distress, the suffering, particularly in this time of year when other people are supposed to be joyous. This is a time of deep deprivation for many people. And long-term unemployment, of course, is the highest on record, and we're about ready to see the benefits of maybe 2 million people expire. Efforts, so far unsuccessful, to extend unemployment insurance benefits. That's really terrible. And we know that unemployment insurance benefits have been keeping maybe 3 million people from poverty in recent years. Now, we believe that we should have an active labor market policy, that after people are unemployed for a certain amount of time, that they ought to be given jobs so that they don't become poorer, more despairing, their families don't suffer. And at the same time that they deal with the other deficit that we have and have had in this country for a long time, in underinvestment in public services, in our public infrastructure, our social and our physical infrastructure, we can cure those double deficits. We can put people to work, and it will be a lasting legacy to the nation. And by the way, this whole business of a deficit is a total diversion. The biggest culprit in the deficit currently is the recession. It's responsible for 60% of the deficit. Join us, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month in 2011. I'm afraid we're going to be here for a while. And if you know of people in other cities, there are 10 others that are doing this today or this week, tell them to start these vigils and let us grow and grow and grow. My website, www.njfac.org, loads of information on unemployment and related issues, including every month the unemployment statistics broken out to show that official unemployment is about half of the total. www.njfac.org.
Thank you. Now, I just want to mention our coalition partners, Communications of America, Local 1180, Empire State Economic Security Campaign, Greater New York Labor Religion Coalition, Healing of Nations Foundation of Reverend James Forbes, Hunger Action Network of New York State, National Organization for Women of New York State, and Workers' Defense League. And now I want to introduce the next speaker, Bill Henning, Vice President of CWA.
Following up on what Trudy said, the numbers that came out today, the official numbers from the Labor Department of 9.8% unemployment is outrageous. And that our government is not putting people back to work is unconscionable. That 9.8% understates the problem, understates it by a lot. We are down 7.7 million jobs fewer today than we had when this recession started. The only way we get out of this recession, the only way we tackle the deficit, which all of a sudden people are talking about as if this is some big deal. The deficit is not a big deal. The fact that people are not working is a big deal. And the fact that governments at the state and local level have shed 316,000 jobs over the last 2 years is a big deal. Here in New York City and New York State, both areas of local and state government are talking about shedding more jobs. That is unconscionable. The only solution to this problem that we have is to put people back to work. You want to cut the deficit? Have people pay taxes. You want them to pay taxes? Put them to work. And if you're not going to put them to work, you certainly have to extend the unemployment benefits. I just read something the other day about some new jobs that are being created. You know what the jobs are? Armed guards in the unemployment offices because the people are upset about not having work. That's not a solution. The solution is putting people to work. If the private sector won't do it, the public sector must. There are a lot of unmet needs in this society. We need to put people back to work, put them in gainful employment at decent levels of pay. That's the solution to our problems.
Yay! Right. Jobs for All vigils taking place either today or during the Human Rights Week are in Dayton, Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois with Jobs for Justice, Atlanta, Georgia, Portland, Maine, Columbia, South Carolina, Gary, Indiana, and Little Rock, Arkansas. The next person I want to introduce is John Bloom, Executive Director of the Workers' Defense League. And what they do is they help workers who've been unable to get unemployment insurance.
Our organization talks every day to workers who have been denied unemployment or whose benefits are being challenged by their employers. Our telephone number is 212-627-1931, 212-627-1931. And those thousands of workers who we speak to every year are people with skills, with education, with training, with experience, with energy and desire to work, and they are, many of them, unable to find new jobs for long periods of time. As you know, the basic unemployment benefits of 26 weeks have been extended by the federal government in this recession, as in every recession since World War II, so that people who are out of work for a long time can have the means to support themselves while they look for new jobs. At this moment, this week, the extensions of unemployment have been permitted to expire by the Congress, and this means that between now and the end of the year, 2 million people will lose their unemployment benefits, and in the months following the new year, another 3 million will lose unemployment. In addition to that, anyone who becomes unemployed now will receive 6 months of unemployment benefits, and that's it. Now, that sounds like a lot of time, but 6 months go by quickly when there are five people looking for every job that's available. And that's what economists tell us is the current situation. So it is very, very important to agitate and organize and educate for full employment and for support for the unemployed while they continue to look for those jobs.
Now, I'm Noreen Connell, and I'm a member of the National Coalition Jobs for All, and I am also a member of NOW, and I'm speaking now on behalf of the National Organization for Women of New York State. And the reason that we're participating in this action is that while unemployment rates are unacceptable for everyone, single women heads of household have among the highest unemployment rates in the nation. And unbelievably, they're 20% of the workforce. So we think that there's a lot of self-help, a lot of training programs. People talk about what you can do to get a job, but the fundamental problem is there are not enough jobs in our economy. One of the problems that happened during the Great Depression is that women's unemployment was invisible, and the job creation programs of the Roosevelt administration really ignored the plight of women as well as the plight of people of color. Large numbers of African Americans were not allowed into a lot of the job programs. What we would like to see is an aggressive federal program to create more jobs and employ more women and men. But for single women, head of households, who are widowed, divorced, never married, their unemployment rates have been 12%, 13%, and are continuing at this high rate. At the beginning of this recession, male unemployment vastly exceeded female. But after a few months, there were layoffs in the retail trades. There were layoffs by city and state governments. So all of a sudden, women are unemployed at the same rate as men. But throughout this recession, starting in 2007, single women, heads of household, who have, by the way, the least amount of support financially, these women have been unemployed at high, unacceptable rates. And jobs need to be created in the public sector during this recession. You do not have large deficits if you have a full employment economy. And I'd want to remind everyone here that even though it's not great, there is a law that passed Congress stating that this is a full employment economy. This is supposed to be the policy of the United States of America, but that law is being ignored. And it wasn't ignored during the Great Depression. President Roosevelt created expansive federal programs, and that's what started improving the economy during the Great Depression. We need President Obama to really begin initiating an aggressive federal job creation program to give dignity and economic support to the Americans. So this is why NOW is participating in this coalition effort, and why we're going to be here the first Friday of each month to demand jobs. Thank you very much for coming.
And I'm with four other protesters at the National Jobs for All Coalition. And you are?
My name is Maria Spart.
My name is Michelle.
My name is Timothy Chow.
My name is Marlena Fonte.
And where are you all from?
Massachusetts.
New Jersey.
I'm originally from Kentucky.
I live in Brooklyn.
And why is this so important to you?
Because our economy is not producing enough jobs for people. We have 5 people applying for every 1 available job. So when we cut off unemployment benefits, that basically is telling 4 out of those 5 people that you're out of luck. Even if you're homeless, you know, you've lost your home, you're starving, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're living out of a car, it doesn't matter, because it's your own fault for not getting a job. That's the dominant ideology that the GOP and the Blue Dog Democrats are espousing, and I find it morally reprehensible. So we need to, number one, have a massive government jobs program, and number two, extend unemployment benefits.
And the national rate is supposedly 9.8%, but for people of color it is, of course. Oh, you want to pick up on that? Okay.
Yeah, I think people are ignoring kind of what unemployment means for certain people. Or it's not the same for everybody. We're saying the national rate is about, what you said, 9, between 9 and 10. Well, it's generally triple that for blacks, always, and it has been that for a while, and I don't think that's been addressed. I don't think people are thinking about that and what that means for black families in America.
I think politicians, they're far removed from this issue. They're in this lame duck session where they're not getting anything done. And we really need to show how important this issue is for all the politicians to see.
Yeah, it just seems like this country doesn't have its priorities straight. Its priorities should be working people.
And for those people who are just getting out of college, just getting out of graduate school, just getting out of high school, what is the future for them?
I know a lot of my friends, I could just say that they're still unemployed. I graduated in 2008, and they're still looking for employment. And it's really hard. The competition is really fierce out there.
I just say that this is the future of this country, and they don't have an out. They don't have jobs. They have to move back in with their families, some of whom are struggling. And it's really destructive for the future of this country.
Racial disparities are showing up again with people coming out of college. The unemployment rate is still going up for a lot of young people of color between the age of about 16 and 24. And there's already a huge gap of wealth between, like, say, blacks and whites. And if the people coming out of college are still facing that huge disparity, that wealth gap is going to get even wider. And so you don't, like, what does that mean for the future of people of color in this country? It's just very, very bleak.
And is that perception widespread among the people in their 20s and 30s getting their first or second jobs? What's the perception in general? And what's going to take to get them demonstrations like this?
People are feeling hopeless. I mean, you're coming out of schools with, you know, people even say major degrees or like degrees that people would be proud of, and then they're calling up their parents saying, I got to come back, you know, and it makes you feel really hopeless. It gets you really down. And I think a lot of people are just losing hope. They're losing faith in their government. They're losing faith in everyone. They don't know what to do.
It's also going to take a lot of young workers longer time to get better jobs also, you know, because they're starting so low because there's not enough jobs available. And with the debt they're facing, that's also a huge issue. A lot of college grads, a lot of graduate students coming out with huge amounts of debt. And it's just going to take them longer to pay it off. And they're going to pay off more of the debt because of the interest rates.
Young people need to get organized. They need to start looking at their communities. They need to start looking, you know, where they live in their state and in this country and see where they can make change together as a collective voice. And I think for older generations, they're really the role models, and they have a lot of lessons. So I think collaboration is really important, and setting a good, you know, setting a good example for participatory democracy.
Okay, let's just go through it again. Name and where you're from. And
My name is Marlena Fontes. I'm from Massachusetts, but I live in Brooklyn.
My name is Timothy Chow. I live in New Jersey.
My name's Michelle. I'm from Kentucky, but I live in Brooklyn.
Okay. Thanks so much, and hope to see you at the next Jobs for All demonstration on the first Friday of every month until people have jobs.
They used to tell me I was building a dream. So I followed them all. When there was earth to plow, all guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in this line waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done, brother. Can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower up to the sun, brick and rivet and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done, brother. Can you spare a dime? What's in khaki suits, you know, brother? We sure looks well. We was all full of that Yankee doodle-de-doo. Half a million boots of us slog and true hell. And I was that little kid with the drum. It was Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Say, buddy, can you spare it down? Buddy, can you spare a dime.
Yip Hoberg's Depression-era song, Brother Can You Spare a Dime, was sung by Odetta and Dr. John.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.